There is a Gemara in Yavamas that says that the students of Rabbi Akiva died from Askara, which is the punishment for Bittul Torah in the second paragraph in Maseches Shabbos. Mm-hmm. So, Grana, I don't know if that's the Gemara. I think might have been engaging in a maybe a polemic of sorts, because Askara in Greek means soldier. So maybe that he sent his Talmidim to fight in the Bar Kokhba revolts. And there are Midrashim that say that. Chas v'shalom, we didn't know. It's a maligning of him. I think Rabbi Hershel Schechter is like on a crusade like this now.
It's a
Lashon Hara against Rabbi Akiva, that his students had no respect. No, they had no respect in battle. They didn't respect the command. You know, you take over that hill. Okay, five of you. He didn't say what do you mean? The deck of that hill? No, that's a better hill. You know, they argued in battle the way they might argue in a Tosfos or in a, you know, in a source. Thanks.
They have bureaucrats and no officers. They order. They like the rich.
Yeah. Okay, so that's I have a question. There's just a few people here right now, but is it possible, based on some situations that are coming up for me in the next few weeks, to make this shiur before the Tanakh shiur, 7:15 to 8, and then we have Maariv, and then 8:15 to 9. Does that affect your? Can you be able to?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So I'll put that out there, and everybody listening here, if it's okay.
Yeah, it's better to give it early because you go home earlier.
Okay. Okay. Very good. All right. Okay. So we'll send it out, and if everybody is good with it, next week I will inform Chad to make it to announce that this will be. It'll be Minchas Chinuch and Tanach instead of the opposite. Okay, thanks, guys. Okay, I just want to, if I may, I want to just run through a few basics of the laws of Peah. Okay, as they appear in the Maseches Peah. Maseches Peah has a very significant Yerushalmi with incredible tangents on the Inyan Tzedakah. Considerable amount of Agavata connected to Tzedakah. You may be familiar with the main sugyas in Shas, right? The first parak in Bava Basra has a sugya, how long do you have to live in a city before you're considered a resident in order to get the Tzedakah from the city, the Tamchui, the Kinum.
Assets versus income.
And indeed, and then they get a big tangent, the Ches test, you know. All those Gemaras are here in the first paragraph in Yerushalmi Peah. And so that you have a lot of Agadita on that. But there are a lot of significant halachos about how to leave the Peah, but also let's say you have one field with 10 different crops. Do you have to leave a little bit of Peah from each one? Or what happens if you have one big field with all the same crop, but there's a river that runs between them? Or a stream that runs between them. There's a Mishnah with that, sure. Yeah. These are, yeah. Do you have to leave two separate areas of Peah because there's a separation, or if there's a walkway in between? So there's a lot of tangential material. But I put down, so the Torah does not give a shear for Peah. But Mipi Shmua, we learned, since the number 60 works for Alina Bikurim, She'ein Lahem Shigura, Peah, Abikurim, Mariel. But the Chazal give it 60. Now in that Mishnah, it's really a great way to start the Masechta. It's really great Bikias. It discusses some of these things that the Torah does seem to give a hint of a shear. It's just that it doesn't have a shear for the whether it's a minimum shear or a maximum shear. Okay, Peah is different than Trumas and Maisras, is that it doesn't require a hafrasha. You can actually give, if you have a small field, you can give the whole field. But you can't give the whole or the whole challah, the whole truma, the whole. It has to truma has to be a hafrasha. You have to pull it off from something, separate, and then that's X and this is Y. So, all right, the peya does not have such a law because the word it does, that teaches us to separate the trumas and maasers doesn't appear by peya. Okay, so you have to have the specified times where people can get into your property. I think I mentioned that, but you do not have tovas hanah in peya, like you have
cash Jews with pays.
Right, like you have for. The trumas and maasers. You can choose the ani to give the maaser ani. You can choose the levi to give the maaser. You can give it to your grandchild. Right? In other words, your daughter's son, who's not a kohen, who is a kohen, and you're not, you can give your truma to that to your grandson. Right? So if the person, I think this might have come across last time, if the person illegally harvested the entire crop and took it home, he can give it as cut grain, he can give it as flour, he can even give it as bread. Right? But once there's nothing more to give it, then he gets malchus. Because he didn't fix, and we talked last week about yes. So he can't, once you can't fix it, remember there's machlokas in malchus, bitlu velo bitlu, kimu velo kimu. Right? What do you hit? Is kol od that you're not mekayim the fixing? Right? You're standing as long as you're not mevatel it yet. So then you still have a chance. So that's the nachon Rav Yochanan Rish Lakish in the Seches Makos. Okay. So and when he can no longer make amends for not doing it the way he should have, which was to leave it standing for the people to come in, then he gets Makos at that point. Similarly, challah, challah is supposed to be given as part of a frasha from dough. If you didn't give it as dough, you can still give it as, take it out as a baked product. Okay. All right. So the important thing is that leket, shikha, and peya are totally exempt from further tithes. When the poor takes your let's say you have a huge field where the poor get this one poor, lucky poor guy got the whole corner for himself, and it made a big pile. Remember, what the pile is, what's known as the koveya for maestros. When you smooth out a pile, you're familiar with that lashon, right?
Yeah.
Mericha Sakari, right? So Maseches Maestros is the main avenue in Shas for this. It tells you all of the gemar pri. When do you, what stage of the production of this fruit or this grain do you have to, is it now worthy to give to tithe? Right? Before then, you can eat b'derech harai, you can feed your animals. Before this, it's not shaykh to tithe yet. So when, even if the poor took so much leket shikrin peya, that they can, that they made a big pile of it, and then they can possibly take a tenth to give to a different pauper. No, you don't have to tithe not to a kohen, not to a levi, not to an ani, not to a matzah shein. Right? And surely you don't have to take bikurim out. Okay, because that's the whole point, is that although the Yerushalmi does say that a poor person should give tzedakah from his income. But he doesn't have to give meiser from the tzedakah he gets. That makes sense. Right? It's only needs $100 to buy food for Pesach. He doesn't have to give $10 of that to help another ani. Right? But if this ani did some work and made some money, There are discussions in poskim whether you have to give meiser of your gross income or of your net income. That's from this week's parasha. V'chol asher titein li aser asrenas. It's v'chol. What do you mean v'chol? Just say v'asher titein li. What you give me, I'll give meiser. I think it's just Russian. V'chol asher means I'm going to take it out of my gross income, not my net income. In other words, Yaakov is big mach. That's how we learn not to give more than a chomer. So Gemara Ksuvah, so we just do aser asrenu, right? A tenth and then another tenth of the same amount.
If the Yanei, if you talk about last time about bundles, you know, so if he's like the shukha for him, can he go back? Can he pick it up, or does he have to? Like, let's have straw come. Great.
It's interesting. Yeah, he can pick it up. He's not a worker, and it's not. He's not given to that consideration. Interesting. Okay, so when a poor person takes whatever all these like a chukun peah, he's not chayav to give any further tithes from that at all. Okay, all right. So that's true. Even if the farmer gives the poor detached peah, in other words, he didn't give it properly, but he made up for it. He didn't get his malchus because he fixed the lav and itak laseh. He's still freed from tithing. Okay, that's a Rishon Mishnah also, and it's meseches unless, by the way, unless. Yes, excellent, good. Unless it already reached the stage of requiring tithing before the owner gave it to the poor person.
And we're assuming that the owner himself didn't.
Then he's got to tithe it or tell the poor person, listen, this is required tevel that requires tithing. So I'm giving it to you. So he has to tell them. You know, we assume that there are people here who mean to follow the Torah, and the guy just, what did they do? I forgot to take out the pan. Oh my goodness. People call me sometimes. I forgot to take out the challah. They mean to. Yeah, sure. The simple thing is you kiss the challahs together. You put them all together in the same bin or you pull them together. And if it reaches past the stage of the amount, then you can pull it off from a baked product. Okay, so that was good. Very, very good aura that if the chiyuv of maestros sets in, because the maestros never set in when it's attached to the ground, of course. But if the chiyuv of maestros set in and the guy still feels I want to fix myself, then you can't un-mechayev the grain from a chiyuv of meiser because now you made up your payah by giving it. You see the lumdus?
No, I understand. But it seems a little strange it wouldn't take meiser. He would have prayed.
It's an amazing, you're trying to dance on two different floors at the same time. In other words, I'm calling it, the Torah still allows me to call this payah in order to fix my Avera, right? But, and Peah, the definition of Peah is no Chiyuv of Meiser.
Right.
How can it be? How can it be Chiyuv of Meiser? It's still attached to the ground. There's a lot that has to be done after detaching it to be Chiyuv of Meiser. But since there's this caveat that Peah can still be made up at a later time, right? So, but if it reaches that stage of chiyuv and maestros, that poor person, I'm sorry, is as I said before, a little screwed over. All right. Okay. But interesting that I would compare these kind of things that get into my head. And since this is what this shir always does, when you're davening Shmon Esrei and it's Rosh Chodesh, right, and you realize that you didn't say Yalla V'Yavo, so if you take your three steps back, sorry, you got to daven again. But if you realize before you take your three steps back, even during Elokai Netzor, because that has become like the official part, Tachanunim, everybody says, even though it's only one of the Tachanunim of Daf Yud Zayin and Maseches Brachos that the rabbis used to say, but Ravina, I think. So if you're in the middle of Elokai Netzor, you can still make up Yalla V'Yavo. Right? In other words, you're still davening Shmon Esrei. However, on the other side of the coin, if you're in the middle of a Lokai Netzor and they're saying Kedusha, right? If you have this halacha, you can answer Kedusha. You can't answer Kedusha if you're in the middle of Modim, Lufsim Shalom, halacha says stop. Either stop and listen according to Rashi or just keep davening like Tosis. Right? The minute Shulchan Aruch says is to stop and listen. But
you have to be through Sim Shalom.
Yes, Sim Shalom and say Baruch Hashem Amarich Ma'aseh B'Shalom, and you are Tzonim Reifi Ve'Egon B'Tanecha Hashem Tzuri Ve'Goali. Don't move your three steps because you still want to say the kind of Tzor. And you can answer. You can manage to say the words. You don't have to listen. You can say the words. However, If you, now you'll see what, how this relates to the pay and the ma'aser. If you, on a day where you said Kedusha in the beginning of Elokai Netzor, and then you realize, oh, I forgot to say Yalav Yavo.
Yeah.
You can't, after already calling Elokai Netzor, Ois Shmon Esrei, right? My Shmon Esrei is over. You can't go back and say, oh, sorry, God, I forgot Yalav Yavo. I mean, let me get back because I didn't take my three steps back. No, you already called it. You already called it after Shmon Esrei. So now let's get back to our situation.
That's just for that one Shmon Esrei, right? I mean, it's not. I mean, on a different day, you can.
Of course, yes, of course, yeah. Of course.
And answering Kedusha is just Kadosh Kadosh. You don't say Nekadesh or Yimla. You just
100%. 100%. Yes, just say the Psukim, right? But what's the how this is connected to our case now? Is that when normally Peya is. Does not cross any line with the chiyuv of Trumas and Maestros. Because pay is given while it's attached to the ground, and Trumas and Maestros don't ever kick in when something is attached to the ground. It only kicks in much later stage when you do a lot of things to it, and you pile it up, and that's Maseches Maestros refers to pears, peaches, apples, grain, legumes, kidneys, and all the things. What stage does it reach the potential that I can give it Maestros? The stage where you have to is when you take it in your front door, right? To the point that if you take it in from a skylight, remember that case in, where the people will try to get out of the chiyuv. So here it is. So normally, going back to say Yalav Yavo doesn't cross over with saying that I can now answer Kadosh 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 because those are two separate issues. But so normally, a chiyuv and peya does not ever cross over the possibility of giving trumas and maestros, except in this case here, where the halacha allows peya to be given even after it has been detached from the ground to fix your lav hanitak laaseh, to fix your lo saaseh that you did in order to not to get malchus. So, but when you do that, if you cross over that threshold of putting in a pile where it still can be fixed for peya, but you now cross the line where you've lost your opportunity to say it's not chayev and trumas and maestros. Okay, do you see how this willy nilly gets compared to our case with Yalav Yavo and Kedusha? Okay.
If you're relying on Shnek Onya and didn't say it out loud yourself, you just rely on listening to the shocks.
Then I would suspect that you can still go back to see Yalav.
Yeah, I can. Yeah, unless you take the view that.
No, but we don't pass in that way.
Right.
Tosfos says that. In other words, Tosfos says don't do Shemei Ka'ona even in modim because it's like you're saying it and you'd be mafsik. Right? So Tosfos, thinks that Shemei Ka'ona grabs onto it much more than Rashi does.
Right.
The Minhag is like Rashi. The Shulchan Aruch says. So, because you can do that in modim, you can do that in mitzvah.
But it's not. Yeah.
Right. Because there are two different gemaras that teach about Shemei Ka'ona. One where the person mamash becomes like the other person.
Right.
It's Maran Sukkot of Lamed Ches, where the person reading the Torah becomes like Yoshiyahu. And the other one is Moshe listening to Hashem at Har Sinai. Moshe didn't become Hashem. Kida Ashkechan B'Sinai. Remember in the third parak in Brachos. Okay, so next is... So another point, another important point, and this is tangent to what we just did, is that Shlekat Shikha and Peya are very different than Trumas and Maestros, in that they have no Kedusha whatsoever. When the poor person gets his Peya, he can feed it to anyone he wants. You don't have to be in a state of ritual purity to eat it, and he can give it once he is Zoche, to own it, you can give it to a rich person. As opposed to a rich person, and this is my favorite command, Gittin and Bav Metzia, in the first parak in both Mesechtas, a rich person cannot see, okay guys, payers, open season for payer, come on in. And no one comes. And there's a rich person who says, oh, my next door neighbor is so poor. I'm going to go get payer for him. I'm going to give it to his door. No, because he doesn't. He, this rich person doesn't have the right to cut it, to mezake someone else. You can only mezake someone else if you can mezake yourself. The Gemara does discuss a rich person who's poor at the moment. In other words, he's stuck someplace with no resources, right, no right, money.
Assets versus income.
Right. Right. There's no money, no resources. There's no food for Shabbos. But there's someone with an open payer field on Friday afternoon, and I have a chance to get, you know, to get some fruits.
He's viewed as the money that he has on hand.
So you consider it
it's considered an uneven moment. But the Gemara does tell him about Derech Musar to pay it back. But for the moment, it's an interesting thing, which sounds a little like a Gemara that appears all over Shas about the ability to eat demai, because only aniyim can eat demai, and I can make myself an ani this very moment.
But
it's machlokas beis Hillel beis Shammai, but we pass kind of like beis Hillel.
But you can't really be in that situation where you have no.
But a person can always, demai himself into demai territory by being mafkir his nechasim. And halacha, someone can go raid your bank account, but mistama, he's not. He doesn't have. He doesn't know how. He doesn't know where. Mm-hmm. So then I'll go and reclaim it. But for the time being, that's. But otherwise, a rich person cannot be mezake to take this, to fall on this payah. And mezake his neighbor. You want to give your neighbor some money. You give him on your ochesh, but not on another. That's his connection to Bab Metzia, where you want a mezake A, but it's at the expense of B.
Right.
You can't do that. Right.
You're taking the pan from somebody else.
Right. So you can ani A can mezake ani B with payer. Of course, you gotta take it myself. Through me, I'm giving it to you. It's a big sugya, about shlich is also. Can you be a shlich for someone else? You have to be able to be doing this thing yourself. This came up today, and this is amazing. This all I am. Okay. This came up today because we had a shlich tzibur who was a chiyuv in shul, and he was visiting from Eretz Yisrael. So he said the same talamot talav rachaz he's been used to saying. So I made him say he had to say the same bracha. Because you're our shliach, you can't say the same talamata for us.
Right.
And I had him say the same talamata, and I had him, and I went up to him at Shmakolenu, and I said, okay, now before Kiyat Hashem, say the words, the same talamata for you to be Yotze. But you're our shliach.
Right.
You can say the same talamata in Shmakolenu any day of the year, all summer. You can say you have a farm in upstate New York and that needs rain in July. Of course, you should say the same talamata, but not in the regular place. Say in Shmakolenu, where you can say anything. Right? That's the minute of you. Like if you go to Israel today and come back before December 4th, that's probably the most popular thing to do. Okay, so that's the secular character of Leket Shikhan Peah. There's no, you don't have to eat it kedusha of Torah like Meiser, Trumas Meiser, but that's true of Meiser Rishon and Meiser Ani also, right, as opposed to Meiser Sheni, Trumas Meiser, and Truma Gadol.
You really want to be Torah,
yeah,
and Ani.
Yeah, and that's a good point. Yeah. Okay. All right, and the requirements of leaving Peah is for all kinds of crops, but they have to have certain criteria. For Peah is that it has to be gidul karka, of course, but it has to be something that is lakium. It has to be put potential to be put aside and to be stored. So very famously, vegetables are not given to Peah. It has to be able to be stored. Vegetables rot in a week or two.
So if it's grown hydroponically, then it would be considered field grown.
That's such a complicated issue for Shvius and Leketshikhan Peah. So that might be a topic for a special share by itself. Okay, so. But while Peah applies to a whole series of crops, as long as they're stored and as long as they're guarded, Leket and Shikha only apply to to grains and to and legumes. And,
yeah.
But not to fruit, not to fruit trees.
All of those is a similar category.
Yes, yes, yes. Right, that's Xeris HaKasuv from the eight mitzvahs that we've been doing. That's Peret and Ololos are Leket and Shikha, the grapes. Right, so there's there are your eight mitzvahs. Right? Peya, right? Give Peya, don't not give Peya. Give Leket, don't not give Leket. Give Peret, don't not give Peret. That's grapes.
Grapes.
The pay of grapes.
Give
all those, don't not give all those. Which is... Okay, so now let's look at the Memphis Chinuch inside. Okay, I put numbers there. You see? Okay, you see the numbers on Yeah, but you have to keep turning until you get number one, two, three. You see? One. So here the number one, the Minchas Chinuch is commenting on the Sefer HaChinuch's reference, which doesn't appear in the Gemara, but it does appear in the Rambam, that we can force a field owner to give payah. In other words, the Yanim get to go in there, like as if though it's a Shemitah year. In other words, we assume that we're talking about, you know, talking about people who want to be in some kind of observance of the halacha, but and so, then why do you have to force him? Right? He says, the haniyim notlim bal karcha. Right? In other words, they're not stealing, they can go into your field. He's keeping his fence, he doesn't leave it open for people. Right? So that he should be shunned. And the poor people have the right to go in there and against his will.
How do they know if he didn't set aside? How do you know how much?
It becomes a little thorny. I've been figuring that out. Okay, because the Balabayas does not get to choose who goes in there.
He
can say, you know, I have some poor cousins who are coming to town in a few days, and I don't want to open up the field yet. I'm waiting a little bit. Right, there may be some leeway because there's obviously only a short season for the harvest. You don't have to leave it open when it's not ready for harvest. What's the point of letting poor people come in and take things that you can pull out of the ground which aren't even edible yet? So what's the point, though, is that if the poor person comes in there and removes standing grain, the guy who owns the house might take him to Beis Din and say, well, would you come into my place? Because the Rambam says that, Bal Korcho, I'm in the right. That's the question. Who's in the right if there's a court case? You assume here are people who want to appeal to a court of halacha, a court of law, and tell us what to do, and we'll listen. So the poor person is going to be in the right in the court case for getting it. Okay. The number two discusses tovas hana'a. I discussed this already, so I'll leave that for now. He gets into a bigger tangent of whether tovas hana'a has value or not. In Maseches Kiddushin, there's a discussion of whether Tovas Hana'a is fungible and things like that. Okay, so
isn't that Rabbi Yosef's proof that we discussed in the Daf, right?
Yeah. Just yesterday. Yeah. The discourse of being involved in the mitzvah, it has value. Okay. Number three gets into a fundamental machlokes, which I actually dealt with here, which is what is chayav and peah in the Torah. Okay, so right, so that's you have some who hold that it's only on dagon, okay, and tirosh and yitzhar. Right. That's the same fundamental machlokes on on Trumas and Maisus. It's sort of a minimalist position because the Torah says, tithe your Dagon, Tirosh, V'Yitzar. It's grains, five grains, your wine and your oil. There's a middle position that says that you also have to give it on grapes and olives. And there's a maximalist position, Yerushalmi, because it says, Aser to Aser is called Tfuah Saracha. Yotze min hasodeh. Right? So Tfuah Saracha, some still, Tfuah Saracha means grain. Others say, no, Tfuah is peaches, Tfuah is apricots, Tfuah is whatever, Tfuah, whatever comes out of the ground, sodeh. Right? Okay, so.
This by Nenu is. This
Al Shabbat? So that's going to be a little later, but this is the Vilna Gaon famously purchased a little plot of land in order to leave a small little piece of payah because he wanted to fulfill the mitzvah. So there's a question of whether this is only in Eretz Yisrael. Vilna Gaon obviously felt it was also in Chutz Laretz, or you can argue that he felt it was Mitzvah in Chutz Laretz. The rice, it's only in Eretz Yisrael. There are nafkaminas like this. Right, with Orlo, with Revai, with even with Kilayim, certain Kilayim laws that are only Durabanan outside of Israel and some not at all outside of Israel. So there are some things that we keep. Some people keep Chadosh outside of Israel. So some say it's Durabanan, some say Duraisa. It's all interesting. No one ever thought to keep Shvius outside of Israel, except the outlying areas. But here in America, there are people who are very makbid in Chadosh, in Yashan, but sometimes there's something called Shalotish Takach Torah's Chala in Israel, Shalotish Takach, keep giving Chala wherever you are, so you don't have new to you when you get to Israel. Okay, all right, that was number three. And number four number three at the bottom discusses mushrooms, Kmina Pitrios, the same machlokas that you have in all areas. Like you're going to have about shortly in Sechas Nadarim. If someone says, "I all gidulei aretz, all gidulei karka is forbidden to me," does that include mushrooms? Does that include
the fungi? Yeah.
Right. But it's yonek min haaretz. It's getting something from the air and the ground, but. But it's not; it doesn't grow from the ground. So it depends on what lashon bnei adam. It depends what people mean when they say gidulei karka. Meseches Nedarim is very valuable in that realm, is that it helps identify certain things. What do you mean when you say gidulei karka? And what are the seeds that grow from this thing? And we're going to learn a lot about onions and garlic and things that are it's called inzaro kola. Because what produces the next generation of onion is not a deterioration or a decomposition of something like an apple seed or a grape seed, but what it is the actual onion goes into a piece of that actual onion goes into the next generation, and that's why the gidulei karka of ein zaro kala becomes just as also as the original gidul, right? And gidulei truma is not truma because the grape that came from that truma grape decomposed in the ground to produce this, but all right. So that's what number three. Okay, number four discusses at what stage this is like a Maseches Maestros issue also. I'll get it to Trumas Maestros also. There has to be a stage of growth whereby it's already payable, if you know what I'm saying. And listen, when it's just the tiny little sfichim coming out of the ground, then we pay them. I let the poor come in. Why would a poor person want to take it at that stage? They have to take something edible. Okay. So here's an interesting thing. Each food has its own stage as such. And I can compare. It's a bit of an interesting chiddush. Is we become usable, so to say, when we become bar and bas mitzvah. Who dreamed up that age? Because that's like our stage of being chayav and trumas and maestros. If you look at all of the what they all have in common in Maseches Maestros, is that as soon as this fruit reaches a stage where something can be taken from it to produce another fruit, now it's already useful. It's already now, it's reached its kvius, it's called it, koveya, but the trumas and maisers. So that's our age of Bnei Mitzvah, when we're capable of reproducing. I mean, it's not just a question of maturity.
Having the grace to say it's not fully mature.
But we're capable of reproducing. So when the fruit is capable of reproducing, then okay, now it's reached its mitzvah stage. Get it? Okay, so.
All those Iron Man speeches are actually wrong.
Okay, so that's number four, isn't it? Okay, so number five discusses a sadeh shutfus. If I own this field with another person, is there a nafka mina, with a Jew, with a goy? So peya doesn't really, you know, there are some areas in halacha that do know from this. Most famous is bechoros. If a goy has any piece of your bechor, it's pater and bechor. Xeris hakasov. So that's why I think Jewish ranchers do that. I mean, you know, sell the all the ears of my 4,000 cows belong to a Gentile, just the ears. And so it's now your pater and bechor. Otherwise, you have to wait for the mum. Right. So even today, of course, there's no Beis Hamikdash to take it to, and there's no Kohen to give it to. But you're not allowed to have any enough from it until it comes to a mum. Or you just make a shutfus for the Gentile. There are different kinds of shutfus that help you. You have a shutfus in your meat, in your butcher shop, and you have a shutfus with a kohen that helps you a lot. You can charge a lot less because you don't have to give up your zroa lechaya and bekeba because you give it to this kohen shutuf, and you work out a deal with him. But the Gemara didn't like that. The Gemara said you can keep your butcher shop like that open for 2 weeks. But afterwards, you're going to undercut the marketplace like this. Everyone's going to get a Kohen who is a silent partner and undercut the business, right? Okay, but here, usually when a shutfus with a goy changes a halacha, right, it's usually, I don't know, I'm not going to be good at making a generality on this because Zroa Lechayai and Vekeba, right, does not, you understand this lashon, does not toveil the rest of the meat. You know what I mean? But right, like trumas and maisrus is toveil the rest of the grain. Before you give trumas and maisrus, everything else in that pile is very awesome. It's called tevel and it's chayav misa. Right? But before you give this roll of chayai and the keba, piece of the shoulder and the arm and the, remember, we learned from Pinchas the different things that Pinchas did. You know, so a few things that we have to give to the Kohen from every animal, every chulin. But that the rest of the animal isn't tevel until I do that. I don't have to give the Kohen those three things before I eat mine. I don't have to mafresh it. You know, I have to give it to him in order to fulfill the mitzvah.
When you don't punish music, they shrine.
Right, right. And I can eat mine and wait for Cohen to come by to give it to me. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's what number five is about. Number six, he talks about the din of Nishmar. And we have, there's a, you know, Nishmar is a big topic in Shvius, the Sech Shvius, because one of the big no-nos of Shemitah is, you know, a chamar, but you can't guard it. It has to be an open field. And another important caveat, of course, like Peah for sure, is that the only entrance that they have the right to get into your field is not to squat, not to put up a tent, not to play baseball, not to have parties, but only to get the food. Okay. You say, well, if Shemitah is supposed to establish that it's not your food, it's not your field, but it's for food. Lechem la'ochla. That's what the Torah says. It's Xeris HaKasa. Okay. Number seven is an interesting concept because it's that suffik leket leket, but I think I discussed that last time. Suffik leket leket means, remember we talked about if he's not sure if the felt on the ground, yeah, exactly. That if he's not sure if if it was that there was an animal that chewed at the stalks and it fell on the ground, or that the worker dropped it and it fell on the ground. So if you can't do an investigation and see further, these teeth marks at the bottom, it's pretty clear. A worker didn't cut that with his teeth. He cut it with a sickle. But otherwise, if you have the suffix, we should normally apply the rules of Bav Metzias, Uki Mamon Becheskas Mari. So you keep money and its last known ownership. Don't change over money because of a suffix. You want to change money from one place to another. There has to be some kind of proof or some kind of a state claim or some. Where does the? It's true the ani has claim to this when it hits the ground.
Right.
But if there's a suffix, the last known owner of this stock was the owner of the field, so it should stay with him. Don't take it out of his possession based on a suffix. So the answer is Zach quoted the pasuk in the Shir Shalom on Thursday that says that where is ani v'rashat stiku if the Torah says lo ter dar p'nei dal, you're not supposed to favor that judgment has to pierce the mountain and you have to keep the judgment, right? So this it's a chiddush based on that pasuk. Okay. The Gemara Nedarim says that the beginning of the Masechta says you can make your whole field pay. I mentioned that before. It doesn't entail a hafrasha. That's number 8. Okay, number 9. So no heges. You see, let's read in the Sefer HaChinuch itself. It says, "V'anoheges mina Torah b'scharim nekevos, bein b'Yisrael bein b'koin v'levi." Okay, makes sense. "Uveritz Yisrael dafka, uvizman she Yisrael sham, kitruma u'maisros, kedasa Rabbam zechon levracha. Shamar kitruma maisros eina nohagin eleberet uvizman she Yisrael sham dafka." When the Jews are living there, but not when Turkey or the Ottoman Empire or the Christians or someone else runs the show there. Okay, now the Vilna Gaon obviously disagrees with this, but no, maybe not. Maybe he would take it to Oraisa. The Vilna Gaon wants to keep it in the Rabbana. U'kmosh nichta be'ezra Hashem b'seder shoftim asei vav. Okay, that's mitzvah 507. Okay. Now, this little line here proves that the way the Sefer HaChinuch was originally written is not the way we have it today, right? Because originally it was written parsha by parsha with the number of mitzvahs in that parsha. It's not the way it appears here. Here it goes straight through. So you wouldn't know. This is mitzvah 507, Tavkuf Zion, in Parsha Shoftim, and in Sefer Devarim. All right, so with your bana, no heges afil b'chutz la'aretz. There you go. Right, you like to keep your banans too? Right. You see those words?
Yeah.
Okay, b'chasef huzekhan l'vracha, shira lo duhu adin b'shar matanus aniyim, shen kula no hegos b'chutz la'aretz v'divrei sofrim. Okay, all the leket, the shukhas, the payas. Right? So it's totally in the Kedushas Ha'aretz, not in Bias Kulchem. Bias Kulchem, what mitzvahs need Bias Kulchem, meaning all the representations of all the tribes. It's Machlokas,
Yovel.
Yovel, good. Okay. And the final halacha is in Mafrishin's Nisod Al Chaverta. Yeah, you can't, whether it's even better or it doesn't matter. And that's what we talked about in the very beginning. If there's a lake that interrupts, you have to give payah from each side. You can't give one big payah from this side to both. Certainly not. You could do that with Truma. You can have 10 fields in 10 different cities and give Truma in one place and have in mind all the different places. It's a mitzvah to give me an amukaf, but Truma can be, there's no connecting, necessarily a connecting link to that. As long as you give a good enough of a share, 1/50th, 1/60th.
Even if less, maybe.
Yeah, yeah, one give one kernel. Right. One kernel fixes off the all 10 fields. right? Which is why Dmai doesn't have to fix for Truma Gedola. Truma Gedola is so easily done that mm-hmm. Rabbi Yochanan Kohen Gadol saw that people were giving that Truma Gedola.
Dmai, it's
Truma Smeisr. Truma Smeisr, yeah, the Meisr from the Truma. So. And Meisr Oni and Meisr Rishon, Hamosim Chavar Lavarai, because there's no Kedusha. And then Meisr Sheni, you have to fix. All right, Chavar, they're playing our song. Be well, everybody. Great night.
Good night. Thank you.
Now we all have a degree in Peah. Okay, everybody.